The opinions expressed on the following sponsored program are strictly those of the host, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of this station, its staff, management, or sponsors. You are tuned to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Every day, listen for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in. Get healthy. Now, here are your hosts for the hour, Dr. Herb Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor.
Good morning, everyone. Welcome once again to Natural Doc Radio. And we have continuing high quality information for you about the many different ways that you can achieve and support long-term good health. And we've been talking about the issues associated with infectious disease and how that infectious disease state may very well impact a wide range of different diagnoses that you could be dealing with, from circulatory problems, from an issue of headaches, arthritis, high blood pressure, high cholesterol. And you say, high cholesterol could possibly be associated with an infectious situation? Well, lots of information along those lines. Good morning, Dr. Slavin.
Good morning, Janet. A lot of the topics that we talk about really come from what's going on in the office and the patients we see, and a lot of times with the clients you see. And we're going to talk about something about a patient in a second. But I just want to point out something here again, because it got a lot of publicity.
Well, what's going on here?
And what point I'm trying to make here is Pat Summitt. I don't know how many people knew that name. I don't know. Did you know that name?
Yes, now I'm familiar with it. Okay, very, very interesting. Okay, she passed away, and it was 5 years after having been diagnosed with early onset Alzheimer's. And the connections that you're going to draw, I think, will be shocking to some of our listeners.
Well, the reason we're picking on her is because in the world of women's basketball, she was very famous. The winningest coach in basketball history among both men and women. And she died at the age of 64, like you said, after just 5 years with the diagnosis of Alzheimer's. And, you know, I wonder, oh, here's an important point from Tennessee, which is in the center of Lyme disease.
Is it really?
Well,
okay.
It's
a rural a state that has many rural areas, wooded areas.
And, you know, it just reminds me of what they said about Kris Kristofferson when they realized his Alzheimer's wasn't, quote, Alzheimer's. It was neuro-Lyme, and they treated him, and he started getting better. I wonder if anybody looked, and I think it's time now that anybody with any form of dementia, because there are other reasons for dementia besides Alzheimer's. And Alzheimer's, they don't have a good treatment for, but they have, you can have dementia from vascular problems, poor circulation to the brain. You could have it from nutritional deficiencies like vitamin B12 deficiency. And you could have it from infections. And that's the area that I think is being overlooked. And here's the definition of Alzheimer's disease, which I think is theoretically a non-entity. It's just a symptom.
Okay, interesting.
In other words, it's okay, not the disease, it's a symptom.
Okay, but we've been led to believe it is a disease.
So here's the definition. It is a chronic neurodegenerative disease that usually starts slowly and gets worse over time. It's the cause of 60 to 70% of cases of dementia. So dementia is the general term when you have a decline in memory and...
decline in function, overall function.
Yeah. So the most common early symptom is difficulty in remembering recent events. So they call that short-term memory loss. That means if you don't remember what you had for breakfast this morning, I know a lot of people even get nervous now.
Okay, well, it's repetitive questioning. You ask a question, you receive an answer, but you don't remember receiving the answer. So within 10 minutes, you're asking the question again.
Now, as the disease advances, symptoms can include problems with language, disorientation. In other words, you get lost easily. And that's happened a lot. I've had patients in the past that would wander out of the house and not know where they're going, or even worse, get in a car and get lost. Mood swings, loss of motivation, not managing self-care, and behavioral issues. As a person's condition declines, they often withdraw from family and society. Gradually, bodily functions are lost, and ultimately, the patient dies.
It's very interesting, Dr. Slavin, because this was a five-year degenerative process for the Tennessee basketball coach. And in many cases, the degeneration is much more lengthy. So the fact that it was so quick, 5 years from onset of the first symptoms to her demise, kind of does very much support this viewpoint that it is, or it has, an infectious component.
Well, here they say the speed of progression can vary, but the average life expectancy following the diagnosis is 3 to 9 years. So that's 5 years is right in the ballpark. And they go on to say here, and again, this is, you know, the mainstream medicine's take on Alzheimer's. The disease is poorly understood. About 70% of the risk is believed to be genetic. Aren't you getting tired of hearing that excuse when they don't know what's going on? They just blame your genes.
Okay, and I say nutrition trumps genes every time.
Other risk factors include head injuries, depression, and hypertension. Now, isn't it interesting they're mentioning depression and hypertension? Because we mentioned yesterday how there's an association with infections and depression and hypertension. And also we said that depression may be a precursor to Alzheimer's disease. And by the way, depression is not a deficiency of antidepressants. The disease process is associated with plaques and tangles in the brain. And recent evidence is stating that those observations of the brain, and these are made by autopsy, you can't do this while the patient's alive.
Right.
Are the result of the brain fighting off infections. Then they go on to say a probable diagnosis is based on history of the illness and cognitive testing. They can do medical imaging and blood tests to rule out other causes. In other words, Alzheimer's disease is a diagnosis of exclusion. You rule out every other cause of dementia. You can't find a reason. You say, okay, it's Alzheimer's disease.
Dr. Slavin, they do brain scans, and one of the things that's notable on brain scans with dementia patients is literally shrinkage of brain tissue. But shrinkage of brain tissue does not necessarily make a definitive diagnosis of Alzheimer's. You must wait for that autopsy result.
So, and here's the problem with Alzheimer's. The initial symptoms are often mistaken for normal aging.
Wow. Seems as though that might be almost wishful thinking on the part of the people that are saying it's a potentially normal aging because the symptoms are odd. very odd behavior. It's very interesting that Pat Summitt was only 59 years old when these changes began to be noticed.
Well, yes and no, because I can go back, you know, to my medical school years, and when you'd read up about Alzheimer's disease, the other name for it was pre-senile dementia.
Right.
In other words, you expect, you know, when someone gets old, we'll say in their 80s or 90s, you might expect a decline in cognitive function because of poor circulation to the brain. Just so that, you know, there was, not for everybody, but, you know, that would be the usual explanation. But you wouldn't expect that in a 59-year-old, no, in other words, having circulatory problems, and yet they're having issues with memory, for example. And so they would call it pre-senile dementia. Now they cause Alzheimer's is the name for everything. You have dementia, it's Alzheimer's. And the doctors don't even look for why that's happening. There are no medications or supplements that decrease the risk. Well, I can say with certainty there are no medications for sure. But mental and physical exercise and avoiding obesity may decrease your risk of Alzheimer's disease. Why might that be? The answer is this keeps your immune system more functional and stronger and helps your body fight off infections.
Dr. Slavin, there is a particular pharmaceutical prescription drug that has very clearly listed in its the area of side effects, and I'm talking about Prempro. Premarin and that synthetic hormone replacement therapy has very specifically in the list of side effects an increased risk of dementia. And again, maybe it is a contributing factor to Alzheimer's. Maybe it is simply dementia caused by hormone imbalances. So the interference with correct hormones or bioidentical hormones by using pregnant mare's urine hormone source, that is very clearly contributing factor to dementia. And when you look at the population of residents in care facilities for dementia and Alzheimer's patients, you see that they are probably more than 95% female. Was that the stump the doctor comment
Well, normally when you say there's a preponderance of females with a diagnosis, it could be they're living longer, and the men are dying from other causes earlier.
It seems that way, my observation.
But men do get dementia, whether it's Alzheimer's or not. In other words, Alzheimer's is the name they give dementia when they can't find another cause for it.
Right.
So, but they don't look for the other causes, unfortunately. But back to Prempro, if you were to read the adverse effects of Prempro, you'd never want to even come near that.
It's true.
Drug.
Right.
Blood clots. And blood clots in the eye, so it can cause vision problems. It can cause heart attacks, stroke, high blood pressure, breast cancer, ovarian cancer, endometrial cancer. Prempro is not the same as bioidentical hormones.
It's very different.
You see, and this is what they lump it all together. So the doctors say, well, look how dangerous hormone replacement is. Not so with bioidentical hormones.
And this drug has been on the market for, I'm going to say, at least 30 years. And it is still prescribed today. To me, that is criminal. Oh, do we have music playing? So it's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we'll be right back after these messages.
Advanced Medical Testing Centers is proud to sponsor Natural Doc Radio, co-hosted by Dr. Herbert Slavin, MD, and Janet Cimarelli, licensed nutrition counselor. We are located at 7200 West Commercial Boulevard, Suite 209 in Lauderhill. And you can find us on the web at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is your premier blood draw center. Staffed by professionals with over 15 years' experience, clean, comfortable, and efficient. We guarantee your appointment time and guarantee the lowest price. We test for cardiovascular disease, cancer, diabetes, and more. We draw for all specialty labs, including Access, Health Diagnostic, Singulex, Innovative, Quest, LabCorp, and others. Call us today to set up an appointment. 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332.
Janet Cimarelli is the licensed nutrition counselor and co-host of Natural Doc Radio. Are you in search of the fountain of youth, trying to figure out how to stay young and healthy? There are three main factors that will determine how well you age. The good news is you can take control of all of them and dramatically slow down your aging process. Through her remote counseling sessions, she works with many clients to help them manage these three areas to stay young, vibrant, and healthy. She can help you maintain optimal health that will have you looking and feeling young again. She offers sessions through telephone, Skype, or email. Sessions are 30 minutes long, and she provides you with the in-depth knowledge and information you need to slow the aging process. Schedule your appointment today at JanetCimarelli.com. Don't wait. Your clock is ticking.
And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli here with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we're talking about infectious components for very common diagnoses. And one of the areas that we're talking about is the diagnosis of Alzheimer's disease. And indeed, might Alzheimer's just be a reflection of an infection, a neurological infection?
Well, last year, there were approximately 48 million people worldwide with Alzheimer's disease.
48 million, you say?
Worldwide.
Wow. That's heartbreaking.
It most often begins in people over the age of 65, although there are 4 to 5% of cases known as early onset Alzheimer's, which begins before this, like we mentioned earlier about the basketball coach. It affects about 6% of people 65 years and older. In 2010, dementia resulted in about 486,000 deaths. And it was first described by and later named after, if in case you're wondering how they got that name, the German psychiatrist and pathologist.
Dr. Alzheimer.
This would be a good question for a Trivial Pursuit. Is that what they used to call it?
Yes.
Alois Alzheimer, 1906. Now, in 1906... did they have the capabilities that we have today? But we're still addressing it the same way we did 100 years ago. In developed countries, Alzheimer's disease is one of the most financially costly diseases. And I always say, you know, when something is very costly, that means somebody's making a lot of money on it, too.
And we see more and more facilities being built that are essentially warehouses.
Now, you know, they still aren't, if you were to look this up, you know, they say we don't know the cause. And, you know, just try and treat the symptoms, but basically you just manage the patients as they decline.
Okay, so here's 1906. This group of symptoms was named a disease. And in 1906, we certainly had infection and maybe what we perceive today to be limited capacity for dealing with those infections. But one of the reasons that I have talked about with regard to developing dementia has been around maybe 50, 60 years, and I'm talking about the use of hormones, hormone replacement therapy that ultimately was synthetic. the use of hormones, which would be a little bit more recent, the use of hormones in livestock, and that hormonal carryover being a potential disruptor of hormones and potentially being associated with memory loss. The other aspect of this that I talk about is cholesterol-lowering drugs. They've been around maybe 30 years, and we know that interrupting cholesterol in your body can have an impact on how your brain is functioning and how your immune system is functioning. So some of the factors that in my mind I have connected with the development and the increase in the number of Alzheimer's patients here in the United States, this is a brand new area of discussion. The potential for this to be an infectious situation.
Now, if you recall, in the past, they've associated heavy metals like aluminum, possibly with Alzheimer's.
And mercury.
Really, Alzheimer's is just dementia. I think we should stop categorizing it as a separate disease or category, because I don't know what causes it, so how they can, you know, do it. You know, Alzheimer's may turn out to be just the body's response to infection, because, like you just said, the latest research is leaning in that direction. An infection with spirochetes, which is a bacteria in gum disease, may cause dementia, may be involved in Alzheimer's disease.
This is a very, very interesting possible area of discussion, Dr. Slavin, gum disease. So how many people deal with certain infections with regard to root canals and periodontal disease and so on? And we know that connection with the periodontal disease and the potential for heart issues, and why would we simply stop there and not extrapolate that, yes, indeed, the origination of many diseases may come from periodontal issues?
So when you go to a physician and you're concerned about, you know, memory, you know, short-term memory, and you worry, could I have Alzheimer's? And my opinion, there should be some tests done right away, looking for other causes, like, you look for heavy metals, you look for any nutrient deficiencies, particularly B12 deficiency, but you have to look for the presence of infections in the body. Easy enough to do, because my feeling is, if you have these infections present, it would make sense to do something about it rather than ignoring the possibility that they could be related to the problem.
Dr. Slavin, it's been my experience in observing friends, family members, and clients that there is a great deal of reluctance on the part of the patients to acknowledge that there is any memory or personality issue, that there is nothing wrong, and they sometimes develop some very clever coping skills to minimize the possibility that you could point to something and say, well, you know, okay, you did this and this and this. And unfortunately, there's a certain obstinacy and just refusal to go and be evaluated.
Now, we've been talking about certain viruses and bacteria associated with not just Alzheimer's, but with heart disease, high blood pressure, and a whole host of other illnesses that aren't being recognized as a potential result of an infection in your body. But I say just do the tests. Now, I don't automatically say just because you have these, you have antibodies to these infectious agents that you need to treat them. But if it's associated with a physical challenge, then it may be wise to treat it. And I refer you back to what was reported about Chris Christopherson, diagnosed with Alzheimer's. In other words, he was losing his memory. They said, okay, you have Alzheimer's. And a few years later, a doctor says, well, let's test you for Lyme disease, which is a spirochete. And he would test it positive, and they started treating him, and his memory started returning. Here are some of the infectious agents associated with various illnesses, including Alzheimer's, heart disease, and cancer.
One of the things that I wanted to say, Dr. Slavin, is there isn't any social stigma to being diagnosed with heart disease or high blood pressure, but there is a perceived stigma to being diagnosed with dementia.
So here are some of them. Coxsackie B4 virus, herpes simplex virus 1 and 2, cytomegalovirus, chlamydia pneumonia, H. pylori. Now, I'm going to tell you in advance, you test yourself for these.
You're going to find them.
You're going to find you have antibodies because we've all been exposed to these things. But so therefore, we don't recognize that as a potential cause of some of the symptoms you have. And it's not just Alzheimer's or heart disease or high blood pressure or cancer. But to me, it makes sense to address it now.
Okay, the statistics are just overwhelming. 1 in 9 people over the age of 65, and 81% of those over the age of 75. Those are stunning numbers, Dr. Slavin, very scary. And if we could address this with a very easily accessed therapy, what stunning results for people.
Exactly. And not just preventing Alzheimer's, preventing a lot of diseases. And this is something mainstream medicine fights to stay away from. They don't want to cure people. They just want to treat the symptoms. This is how the drug companies stay in business.
Oh, and this whole concept of infectious disease, you think about, let's say, 1890s, early 1900s, there were people who were living in a very healthy manner, healthful state, into their 80s and 90s. And the people who didn't make it to those ages may very well have died from an overwhelming infectious diagnosis.
So yesterday a patient comes in and he says he went to a walk-in clinic because he had this cough that was persisting, and that was his only symptom. He wasn't febrile. He wasn't, really he was functional. He just had this cough. And so what did they do? They did a chest x-ray. They didn't do any lab work. And immediately they said, you've got walking pneumonia. And I said, there's no such thing as walking pneumonia. That's a layman's term to scare you into taking their treatment. And they gave him Levaquin. And we're going to talk about Levaquin after the break. But I want to make a comment about chest x-rays. If they're not done by a radiologist, you have to beware. Because if you remember, and most of our listeners probably remember, when you used to have a camera with film, and you remember how the picture would look if you had too much light or too little light, you know, you overexposed it or underexposed it. Well, same thing with a chest x-ray. If you overexpose it, you're going to make it look more normal and you might miss pathology in there. But if you underexpose it, you're going to see a lot of haziness on the film and you might mistake that for an infiltrate or pneumonia. So, and then you want it read by a radiologist, not just your typical physician. Just a few points, because we're going to get back and talk about the antibiotics he was prescribed.
It's time for us to take a break here on Natural Doc Radio. We'll be right back. Stay tuned.
Are you concerned with the current state of your heart and blood vessels? Advanced Medical Testing Centers, your premier blood draw center, draws for Singulex Labs, which offers specialized blood tests that can help you uncover hidden cardiovascular disease that other tests may miss. Talk to your doctor today about the Singulex tests and call Advanced Medical Testing Centers to schedule your blood draw. We guarantee your on-time appointment and guarantee the lowest price. Call us at 754-216-2332. That's 754-216-2332. Or visit us at amtcenters.com. Advanced Medical Testing Centers is a proud sponsor of Natural Doc Radio which airs on this station each weekday morning at 10 a.m.
The Institute of Advanced Medicine introduces holistic and comprehensive ways to maintain your health, maintain your energy and immunity, your flexibility and your wellness. The team of specialists at the Institute of Advanced Medicine offer all the services to enhance and support all categories of function, health, and well-being. You can call 954-748-4991 to make an appointment today. 954-748-4991. Welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio, and we are talking about infection and how it may impact a wide range of potential issues you may be dealing with. Dr. Slavin?
Thank you, Janice. So the patient went into this walk-in clinic complaining of a cough. It was a non-productive cough. They did a chest x-ray. They said, oh, you've got walking pneumonia. They didn't do any blood work. Here's a prescription for Levaquin.
One of the things that when somebody comes to me and talks to me about a non-productive cough, I ask them about the blood pressure medications they're taking, because there are certain ones that are very much associated with a cough. But hopefully they asked about that before their next step.
I doubt it. So you have a walk-in clinic, a patient on Medicare, you can bill it out, you billed out the chest x-ray, you made your money, but you didn't help the patient. In fact, you may have actually harmed the patient. Back in 2012, so we're going back 4 years now, the New York Times had an article entitled Popular Antibiotics May Carry Serious Side Effects.
And people might not necessarily have an awareness when they walk out of the doctor's appointment with a prescription for antibiotics.
So the class of antibiotics they were talking about in this article, this is in 2012, were the fluoroquinolones. And the best known antibiotics in that category are Cipro, known as ciprofloxacin. And I know that you go into a Publix and you can get it for free. Levaquin, levofloxacin, and Avalox, moxifloxacin. And in 2010, Levaquin was the best-selling antibiotic in the United States. But here's what you have to know. By 2011, it was also the subject of more than 2,000 lawsuits from patients who had suffered severe reactions after taking it.
Wow.
Now, why hasn't that been a headline news everywhere? And why are they still prescribing it? It should be reserved for use only in hospitals. And here's the problem. They prescribe it inappropriately. And by that, they mean, in other words, they don't reserve it for the most serious life-threatening infections, like hospital-acquired pneumonia. They're being prescribed for problems like sinusitis, bronchitis, earaches, and other ailments, which most of the time you'll get better on your own without an antibiotic, or even worse, the problem you have is from a virus, and the antibiotics are going to do you absolutely no good. Let's see. In April of that year, the Journal of the American Medical Association showed the risk of suffering a potentially blinding retinal detachment was nearly fivefold higher among users of antibiotics, the fluoroquinolones, to non-users. So that's retinal detachments. Five times higher. They also showed an increased risk of acute kidney failure among people using these drugs. And it was interesting how they described it. They said the drugs were overused by lazy doctors who are trying to kill a fly with an automatic weapon.
Wow. What a picture.
Well, another way to say it is trying to kill a fly with a hammer. You know, you don't need it. So, you know, if you're in a hospital, the doctors usually do the appropriate workup to find out what's wrong. Here's a good example here. There was a patient. He was healthy until April 20th of 2012. when a fever and cough prompted him to see a doctor. Nothing was heard through a stethoscope. In other words, his lungs were clear. But a chest x-ray indicated a mild case of pneumonia, and he was given Levaquin. It almost sounds like the patient
that
I talked about yesterday, except he didn't even have a fever. Although he had heard of problems with Levaquin and asked the doctor if he might take a different antibiotic, he was told Levaquin was the drug he needed. And here's what you have to be aware of. After just one dose, he developed widespread pain and weakness. So he called his doctor and told him what happened, and they said, well, take the next dose. By the next pill, he said, it eviscerated him, causing pain in all his joints and vision problems. In addition to being unable to walk uphill, climb stairs, or see clearly, his symptoms included dry eyes, mouth and skin, ringing in his ears, delayed urination, uncontrollable shaking, burning pain in his eyes and feet, occasional tingling in his hands and feet, heart palpitations, and muscle spasms in his back and around the eyes. Although the patient's reaction is unusual, doctors who have studied the side effects of fluoroquinolones say others have suffered similar symptoms. 3.5 months after he took that second pill, the symptoms still persist. And none of the many doctors of different specialties he consulted have been able to help. So now he's working with a physical therapist and an expert on fluoroquinolone side effects at the Indiana University School of Medicine. He was told it could take a year for his symptoms to resolve if they ever do disappear completely. How many people are having those kind of symptoms, may have taken a drug in this category, you know, years before, and they never connected to?
One of the things that I'm going to say is it is possibly not, he has not gotten a recommendation for a very high quality, high dose, literally mega dose probiotic that would possibly help him to recover, and possibly high doses of particularly B12 and folate, as well as a coenzymated version of the B complex, and in addition to be told to be using organic fermented foods as in literally a daily routine. And those things may very well have the potential to bring an end to his symptoms.
Now, here's another reason to beware of using antibiotics on a whim, not on a serious infection, is that they're being blamed, particularly the fluoroquinolones, are being blamed for the increases in two very serious and hard-to-treat infections. Antibiotic-resistant Staph aureus, known as MRSA, and severe diarrhea caused by C. difficile. One study found that fluoroquinolones were responsible for 55% of C. diff infections at one hospital. And if you look up the drugs, there's a black box warning. It says that the patient should tell the doctor if they develop tendonitis or tendon rupture. And more recently now, the drugs are being associated with neuromuscular problems. But the consumers really don't read that. How many people, you know, actually read what the drugstores give you?
They would have a perception that their doctor is looking to their best interests and would be very well aware of their vulnerabilities and would never give them something to contribute to more illness.
And no one really knows how serious these adverse reactions or how often they occur, because the FDA's reporting system for adverse effects is believed to capture only about 10% of them. So we talk about them, but there's a lot more people experiencing them. So unlike retinal detachments that happen usually while you're taking the drug, the other adverse effects can show up weeks or months later. So you never associate the two. For example,
the ligament and tendon rupture is a long-term.
Well, some experts suggest that fibromyalgia may result from treatment with fluoroquinolones.
Makes sense.
Now, up to now, over a half dozen fluoroquinolones have been taken off the market because of unjustifiable risks of adverse effects. Those that remain are undeniably important drugs, but they need to be reserved for the most serious infections. Children under age 18 and adults over 60 and pregnant and nursing women should not take the drug unless there's no effective alternative.
So let's talk about some of the natural substances that have significant antibacterial, antiviral, literally antifungal effect that are beneficial without, or strongly beneficial without having a long list of significant negative side effects. And I'm talking about a very strong aged garlic extract. I'm talking about silver 100. I'm talking about using probiotics prophylactically and supporting your immune system. And critical, being very well aware of any medications you may be taking that would reduce the ability of your immune system to function normally. And what's one of the most prominent categories in that? It's statin class drugs have a negative impact on your immune system.
Now, if you go back as far back as the 1980s, fluoroquinolones were documented in Europe as being a real problem category of drugs. And Dr. Jay Cohn published information in 2001 about that. He said nervous system symptoms occurred in 91% of patients taking fluoroquinolones. Again, that's Avalox, Cipro, Levaquin. What are those nervous system symptoms? It's pain, tingling, numbness, dizziness, malaise, weakness, headache, anxiety, and panic, loss of memory, and psychosis. Now, what's interesting is, since these symptoms don't occur while you're taking the drug, you may never associate the two together, and then the problems may not also, they'll linger. They won't go away. In 73% of the people who take these drugs, musculoskeletal symptoms occur. Tendon ruptures, tendonitis, weakness, and joint swelling. In 42% of the patients taking this category of drug, they may experience tinnitus, altered visual, olfactory, or auditory function. In 36% of the patients, cardiovascular symptoms occur, including rapid heart rate, shortness of breath, chest pain, and palpitations. In 29% of the patients, you have skin reactions, which include rash, hair loss, sweating, and intolerance to heat or cold. And in 18% of the patients, you have gastrointestinal symptoms like nausea, vomiting, diarrhea, and abdominal pain. And in a letter to his congressman, Dr. Cohen wrote, "These severe reactions are occurring in patients who are usually healthy, active, and young. Most often, the antibiotics are prescribed for mild infections such as sinusitis, urinary, or prostate infections. Most reactions occur very quickly, sometimes with just a few doses of the antibiotic. Reactions are acute, severe, frightening, and often disabling."
And that music means one more time, a break here on Natural Doc Radio. Stay tuned, more to come.
Why should I do blood testing? I feel fine. Advanced Medical Testing provides information in advance of symptoms developing. Get the health information you need to stay healthy. Get the information you need to minimize the need for medical treatment. When you know where to focus your efforts, the results can be rewarding. Get healthy. Stay healthy. With the information you need from Advanced Medical Testing Center. 754-216-2332. 754-216-2332.
When you support your probiotic status with Janabiotic, you're on the way to overall good health. Your brain benefits with Janabiotic. Your immune system benefits with Janabiotic. Your digestion benefits with Janabiotic. Who doesn't need that kind of broad support for their health and well-being? Enhance your health with Genobiotic, available at Dr. Herb Slavin's office, the Institute of Advanced Medicine.
How do you know what testing you should get at Advanced Medical Testing Centers? Advanced Medical Testing Centers offers testing packages at reduced rates so you can test for most common health challenges, hormone imbalances, immune issues, heart problems, blood sugar imbalances, and many others are available at AMT Center. 754-216-2332, 754-216-2332.
Don't have time to juice today? Maybe you're traveling and you can't juice. The easy quality solution is JanaJuice. Two capsules gives you antioxidant benefits, the benefits of superfruits, acai, noni, goji, mangosteen. Those are just a few of the juice extracts in JanaJuice from Janet's Best Formulas. Visit janazon.com to learn more. And welcome back. You're tuned to Natural Doc Radio. Dr. Slavin, before the break, I talked about some of the nutrients that people can use to support their immune system so they're not so vulnerable to infections, and literally taking in high doses some of these substances to knock out an active infection. But you have at the Institute of Advanced Medicine literally the cutting edge, the most forward-thinking approach as part of functional medicine that will take care of all different types of infectious issues. So bacteria, viruses, fungus, parasites, all of those things that can have a negative impact on our immune response and leave us vulnerable to infection. So who's a reasonable patient for the UVLRX?
Well, we know that if you have a diagnosis like Lyme disease, this treatment is particularly effective because they don't have other really good treatments for it. This one is a good one. But normally, I recommend this to patients who are not feeling good for whatever reason. You know, other doctors will say, if you complain like that and they don't find anything wrong, they say you need an antidepressant. I'm suggesting they probably have a low-grade infection in their body, not enough to put you in bed, but just enough to give you symptoms of either fatigue, you know, weakness, you want to just stay in bed, tiredness, which is, in other words, we're looking at mitochondrial dysfunction. So it's in that group of people where you do all the tests, you can't find a reason. My thinking is there may be an infectious component here. Could be bacterial, viral, fungal. You don't know. We can do some tests. But like I said, since we've all been exposed to these things, we're going to see evidence of exposure. That doesn't really help. And the feedback has been unbelievable. I've had patients with just generalized, just not feeling well, and they report the next day how much energy they have. They can walk up and down steps where they before it was a chore, and a lot of other improvements. Lady with MS noticed increased strength in her legs. People with chronic fatigue getting more energy and feeling better. Lyme disease, lots of symptoms with Lyme disease, and they see an improvement overall as well.
On July 16th at 10 in the morning, that's a Saturday morning, you're going to be conducting a seminar at the Institute of Advanced Medicine for educating interested listeners to Natural Doc Radio, interested clients of mine, and certainly interested patients in your practice. Give them a little bit more information about what's going to be covered in that seminar.
Well, I like a couple of things. I like to help patients understand energy medicine. Because mainstream medicine doesn't really use it except when they use an MRI. That's a form of energy medicine. When they do an EKG, that's energy medicine. But they don't use energy medicine as a tool to help see the dysfunction in the patient. So how do we diagnose people? Well, mainstream medicine says the patient has to come in with a chief complaint. So if they say, I feel great, the doctor says, well, then you must be healthy. But like I always say, just because you feel good doesn't mean you're not sick. So the next step is you do lab work. Well, lab work will show things that are wrong, can show inflammation, can show cholesterol problems, high blood pressure. You take someone's blood pressure, you can find out if they have high blood pressure. You can have all these abnormalities, high cholesterol, and have absolutely no symptoms.
I'm going to ask you a question about the high blood pressure, Dr. Slavin. Might people be taking some blood pressure lowering medication that is inappropriately prescribed? Their goal of the numbers being different from what really is health supporting?
Yeah, unfortunately, people are being over-treated. In other words, lowering the blood pressure too much, especially in the elderly. They need a higher blood pressure to make sure the tissues and organs get adequate blood supply. Wouldn't it be better that you didn't need the blood pressure medicine if you address the underlying cause of the problem? Maybe an infection, it may be low magnesium, could be stress. But anything is preferable to taking a drug if you could avoid it. I just want to go back to the fluoroquinolones for a second and why the UVLRX makes more sense to treat infections, because it has no adverse effects associated with it, like the fluoroquinolones. We mentioned retinal detachment. Why is that an issue? Because that can cause blindness. I have a patient. I'm not sure why it happened to her. I knew she had diabetes, which associated with increased risk. They couldn't reattach her retinas, so she's blind. She can't see. You could have acute kidney failure with the fluoroquinolones. People may experience brain fog, depression, seizures. You're going to have the risk of tendon rupture, like Achilles tendon. You might hallucinate and have psychotic reactions. Painful rashes, light sensitivity, heart damage, nausea and diarrhea, hearing problems might affect your blood sugar metabolism, peripheral neuropathy, and liver failure. So here are just a couple of reasons not to be so cavalier. And the doctor shouldn't be cavalier in prescribing it, and the patient shouldn't think, oh, it's nothing. So think twice about those drugs. And you know what? The substitute drugs, like you might say, the macrolides, those are drugs like erythromycin. They also come with side effects. So you really have to think about whether you really need the antibiotic that's being prescribed, because in most cases, the problem you're being treated is a viral problem. And then the other problems are you probably get better without the antibiotic anyway.
One of the things that I think is very important about suggesting the UVLRX, Dr. Slavin, is individuals, after having a course of antibiotics, they may have killed off the major population of the bacteria. However, there may be some very strong individual bacterium that are resistant to the antibacterial antibiotic drug, and they are just reducing the quality of function of all of the different systems and organs of the body, and the UVLRX has the capacity to kill off these drug-resistant bacteria that have survived an antibiotic course.
So I just want to mention another category, the macrolides. That's Zithromax or Biaxin or Erythromycin. That group of antibiotics increase your risk of sudden cardiac death. In a meta-analysis of nearly 21 million people, the drugs were linked to a small but significant increase in heart risk. For every 1 million treatment courses, the use of macrolide antibiotics resulted in an additional 36 sudden cardiac deaths. In other words, it caused an arrhythmia that killed the person.
Okay, do you think people are protecting themselves to a certain extent with probiotics?
No, I know they're not. The doctors aren't telling patients that. But more importantly, these drugs, the macrolides, Zithromax, Biaxin, Erythromycin, they're widely used to treat bronchitis, pneumonia, ear infections, and sexually transmitted diseases. But no one's paying attention to the increased risk of serious side effects. So, for example, azithromycin, that's the Z-Pak that is so common, increase your chances of dying from a cardiovascular event by 250% within 5 days of starting using that drug compared to just taking amoxicillin. So even that category, which is felt to be a safer category, has risks. And you know what? On the death certificate of those people, it said they died of a cardiac arrest, not from antibiotic side effect.
So for people who want to protect themselves, support your immune system with vitamin D. And you can come to Advanced Medical Testing Centers and have your vitamin D level evaluated. Remember, it is not sufficient merely to be in range. You want to have a specific goal for your vitamin D level. And it's very inexpensive, very efficient to test your vitamin D level at Advanced Medical Testing Center and reach your vitamin D level goal. Reach your red blood cell magnesium goal by testing those in the Advanced Medical Testing Center, 754-216-2332.
Well, I think, Janet, we've just run out of time. I hear that music, so I'm going to let you sign off for me.
All right. And you've been listening to Natural Doc Radio. I'm Janet Cimarelli. I've been speaking with Dr. Herb Slavin, and we will be back tomorrow at 10. Thanks for listening.
You have been listening to Natural Doc Radio, brought to you by AMT Centers, bringing you health information based on the latest research from respected sources around the world. Learn what you can do to enhance health, strengthen muscles, maximize memory, and energize all the systems of your body. Listen every day for health information on the latest testing procedures available at AMT Centers, as well as the interpretation and action needed based on your test results. Listen for special events at Advanced Medical Testing Centers. Tune in again next time and get healthy. The opinions expressed on the preceding sponsored program were strictly those of its hosts, guests, and callers, and not necessarily those of the station, its staff, management, or sponsors.